Words on Water.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is the host, Travis Loop, joined by Fred Andes, attorney with Barnes and Thornburg, and we're going to talk about the Supreme Court ruling on County of Maui versus Hawaii Wildlife Fund. Fred, thanks for joining the podcast. What was this case about?
Well, this case is really about the issue of if you have a discharge of wastewater from a municipal treatment plant or an industrial plant that goes to the ground or groundwater and eventually finds its way from the groundwater into a surface water, is that required to be permitted under the NPDES program under the Clean Water Act? That program generally covers discharges directly to surface water, to rivers, creeks, lakes, etc. There have been a number of cases over the years where courts have been debating this question of, well, what if it goes to groundwater and goes then into the surface water? Is that also required to be permitted? So that's what the case was about. In the Maui County specific facts, the county had a wastewater treatment plant, and the wastewater was going into deep injection wells. And then the information showed that from the deep wells went into the groundwater and then went pretty surface water. Tracer tests showed that the effluent was ending up in the Pacific Ocean. So the claim was brought that therefore this required a permit, just like as if you were directly sending the wastewater into the ocean.
So where did the Supreme Court land on this case? What was their ruling?
Well, they sort of landed in the middle. On the one hand, the Ninth Circuit, which is where this case came from, the Court of Appeals, had said a permit was required and used what they called a fairly traceable test to determine whether the connection between the discharge and the surface water was direct enough. And the court had determined that under that test, the permit was required of Maui County. On the other hand, EPA in the case urged, and the county itself urged a different test and said, look, there's no jurisdiction over groundwater or discharges to groundwater in the Clean Water Act, and therefore no permit is required. The court disagreed with both parties. It rejected the Ninth Circuit position, which they felt could really open the door to a lot of more permits being required if there was some kind of connection between discharge and the surface water. But it also rejected the EPA position that there's no jurisdiction, period. Instead, the court said, well, if there's a direct discharge or the functional equivalent of a direct discharge to surface water, then there is jurisdiction and a permit will be required. So that's the new test. The court didn't say whether Maui County needed a permit. It said since the lower court had applied the wrong legal test, it sent the case back for the Ninth Circuit to determine whether, in fact, a permit was required.
What implications do you think this may have? You said it's going to go back to the Ninth Circuit for that piece. You have this kind of middle ground ruling and different opinions and a lot of different stakeholders and people involved in all this. And so what implications do you think this will have? What do you think we're going to see happen next? And especially, what do you think the implications are for, you know, the water utility sector, the wastewater sector?
Well, I think that there's potential for a lot of confusion and litigation. And rulemaking. And the court recognized that they were enunciating a fairly vague test and a test that people might not know exactly how to apply, at least at first. And nevertheless, this is the test they thought made sense. And they basically left it to the courts and to EPA to define it further. So the concern for municipal utilities is that right now it's not clear. If you have, say, a court indicated, well, if you had a discharge to groundwater and it didn't get to surface water for 50 miles, and there's a lot of other stuff in between, that's probably not required to get a permit. But if you had a plant that was next to a river and the wastewater went into groundwater for like 3 feet and then into the surface water from the groundwater, that probably does require a permit. Well, there's a lot of situations in between those two, and the courts, we're going to leave it to the courts and EPA to hammer that out. So what I expect is we're probably going to get a lot of new lawsuits from environmental groups contending that somebody is, you know, discharging. For example, you could have a plant next to a river, and often municipal treatment plants are next to rivers, and maybe you have a basin plant that might leak into the soil and then into the aquifer underneath and then into the river. Does that constitute a discharge that you have to get a permit for that you've never gotten a permit for before? And there's a good question. Well, how would you even permit that? It's not like a pipe. It might be leaks that go into the groundwater and then into surface water. How do you apply a permit to that? How do you apply water quality standards to that? We don't know. That's the potential, is that cases could be brought alleging that those kinds of facilities, or septic tanks, for example, that definitely, you know, stuff goes from septic tanks into the ground and into groundwater and then into surface water. Well, when is it close enough to the surface water that you're going to have to get a permit, but other cases aren't? So I expect that environmental groups will bring cases on that issue now to claim that permits are required that aren't currently required, and courts will have to work that out. Now, EPA could clarify things by issuing a regulation, maybe setting up some more bright line tests there, but you know, that usually takes a while. That could take a few years to put a rule together. That rule could be challenged in terms of whether it meets the tests in the court, in the Maui decision. And even then, you know, during that time period, you could have a lot of cases brought. So I expect a lot of uncertainty and confusion. People are already saying that this could be the next waters of the U.S. in terms of an issue where EPA acts on a regulation, but there's a lot, due to Supreme Court decisions, and then there's a lot of confusion and litigation and uncertainty for a number of years. That's the concern, is that that may be where we're heading now with this issue, is a prolonged period of uncertainty while these issues get hammered out and we figure out where the dividing lines are.
To the common person, they often think that Supreme Court rulings are kind of the end of the line, and then you've got a direction. But an attorney such as yourself knows that this is, in many ways, almost another beginning to this this chapter involving federal agencies and more lawsuits and all kinds of angles, right?
Yes. Sometimes they do resolve things. If they had decided with EPA, if they had agreed with EPA that there's no jurisdiction over groundwater or discharges to groundwater, then that would have resolved things. That would have put an end to it, and there really would not have been much further litigation. Didn't see it that way, and I think they, you know, were fully aware that they may be opening the door for further litigation, but they felt that the two positions on either side just didn't fit their view of the statute of the Clean Water Act, so they couldn't adopt those. They also saw practical problems with those positions, and one brought in too much and the other brought in too little. So they were trying to sort of do the Goldilocks thing and figure out what was just right. And yeah. I think they gave it just right, but recognized that it's not the sort of bright line test that people often look for.
Great. Well, we will all have to stay tuned and see what the next dominoes are here in this situation. But Fred, I appreciate you coming on and shedding a little light on what has happened with the Supreme Court ruling. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Glad to help.
Words.